welcome to Generations. Hi, I'm Dave Buhner, filling in today a little bit for Kevin Swanson, who's out bringing vision to some Slavic communities out in California. There's some people who have come from Russia and are from East Europe, who are of Slavic peoples, still speak Russian, who are getting a vision for homeschooling this week from Kevin Swanson. So I'll be filling in here, and today we're talking about the concept of liberty. Because coming up in Colorado, we're having homeschool day at the Capitol. And the reason we go to the Capitol is for the holy cause of liberty. And that's what we've called the rally this year, the holy cause of liberty, taken from Patrick Henry, who delivered that very famous, moving speech. They call it the most famous speech in American history, the most famous political speech. More famous than Ronald Reagan's City on a Hill. That give me liberty or give me death speech. But what is liberty? See, Patrick believed there was a holy cause to it, but what was it? Well, Patrick Henry was taught about liberty from his minister, his pastor. Because in early America, the pastors were the ones that taught and informed people about things like civics, things like ethics. America was founded on a Christian ethic. That's why our second president, John Adams, when asked what form of government that was created, he replied to the passerbyer saying, it is a democratic republic. It's a republic. And then he added that this form of government is for only a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for any other. See, it was the founding fathers' understanding of liberty that came from the preachers, that came from the Word of God, that liberty was only to be found when people were already self-restrained. That is, the law of God operated on the individual. When the individual was self-restrained, there was no need for external restraints. The civil magistrate didn't have to have a lot of laws, didn't have to be involved in your life, didn't have to tell you what size toilet to wear to put in your house, what size light bulb you could put in your socket, they didn't tell you how fast you could drive. Because people were self-restrained by the law of God, they respected life, they respected property. Now, when we do a study of liberty from the Word of God, we find out that God is very concerned with liberty. If you have a good concordance, you put in the word liberty, you put the word freedom, you put in some of the antonyms like tyranny or oppressor, you'll find you get lots and lots and lots of hits. Because God is very concerned about liberty. Jesus came to bring liberty, is one of the things you'll find out. But in Leviticus chapter 25, one of the first occurrences of the word liberty, at least in the English, we learn that liberty is proclaimed on the year of Jubilee. Now, the year of Jubilee was an ordinance that God had given to Israel. And in the year of Jubilee, all property, that is private property, returned to its owner. Slaves, who were a form of property, now don't freak out about that, I'll explain that in a moment, were given their liberty and their freedom as well. Now, the reason that a person was enslaved as property was because they borrowed something and they couldn't return it. In other words, property was removed from an owner, and since it couldn't be returned, the labor of the person who borrowed it became the property replacement. Now, that could only last 7 years in a biblical system, and then that person was set free. The year of Jubilee, they only served 2 years, they were still set free. So the year of Jubilee, God says, I'm very, very concerned about private property. You cannot have liberty without private property. And if you think about other nations where private property is usurped, especially by the civil magistrates, you have no liberty. That is why in our founding documents, in the Declaration of Independence, it's the rights that they're concerned with there in the preamble are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they define the pursuit of happiness as private property ownership. So you don't have liberty, of course, if you don't have life. We have denied liberty to all the aborted babies. They have no liberty. They are the most oppressed people in America. But they have no liberty if we take away property. So when we pay property taxes, that is, we pay out rent to the states, we are giving up liberty. That is a usurpation of our liberty. Now, why do they do that? Well, they do that to fund their programs because people won't educate their children, so they have to build public schools, and they have to fund public schools with property tax because we weren't self-regulated. That is, we didn't love our children. We didn't educate them. We didn't take that responsibility. The government said, I guess, we'll have to do it. And so they took our land, essentially, through taxes. Private property, utterly essential in a biblical concept of liberty. Liberty comes, biblically speaking, from the law. We hear the phrase, the perfect law of liberty. And the word there, perfect, means both not lacking anything, that is, it's complete, and also without impurity. The law of God is everything we need, and there is no error in it. Now, that doesn't mean that every civic ordinance is going to be found there. You're going to find something about swimming pools. You type in swimming pools in your concordance, and the law of God's going to pop that up. You're not going to find it, because the law of God operates, and I'll call it the three P's, by precept. There are some rules that are given directly by precept, like don't kill. Now, that's pretty obvious. Don't go kill your neighbor. That's a direct precept. But there's also principles. There is a law that says if you do entertainment on your roof, you have to put a fence around it so people don't fall off and die. That is an application or a principle of the value of life. It is an extension of thou shalt not kill. If you manufacture wood chipping devices that shred logs and make wood chips out of the other side, a very legitimate dominion form of business, you probably would want to put some protections, some guards, some safety mechanisms so the operator doesn't reach in to try and free a jam and end up shredding up his arm. See, because that would be another biblical principle. You might take the ox that is wont to gore, that is, you have an ox and he has shown a tendency to want to push his horn into people. Well, the Bible says you have one like that, you either put the ox down, and understanding that that could be a huge hit to a family economy, or at least if he does it again, your life could be forfeit if he takes a life. So you have real risks associated here. Now, if it's the first time and the ox has never shown that he wants to do that and he gores somebody, you say, well, it's an accident, we didn't know what was going to happen, there's a different remedy. But if the ox has already shown a tendency, because thou shalt not kill or thou shalt respect life and the ox wants to gore, then there's a higher liability. So if you're building that wood chipper, you already know that the wood chipper is wont to take somebody's arm. It's not going to be a surprise to you that somebody stuck their arm in there and their arm got shredded. You say, well, I didn't know it would shred arms. Well, of course you knew it would shred arms, so you'd want to put some safety devices in you. See, we didn't need a law about wood chippers. We didn't need a regulatory agency coming in and say, if you build wood chippers, you have to have a safety switch and a lot, da-da-da-da. You don't need that. What you need is a right application of God's law by principle, by precept, and I will also say by prudence. We take the whole counsel of the Word of God, and we see that there are big general tendencies, and they're guiding us. The law of God is not only perfect, that it's not lacking anything, but think about it. If you were to take the whole Old Testament, all the laws of God, it would fill up a very small volume. But because we have not used the law of God, the number of regulations and laws fills bookcases, even libraries. So we had a choice. We had a choice either to follow God's law of liberty, to be self-regulated, or to be externally regulated. And right now, we're being tyrannized precisely because we don't respect other people's property and because we don't want to follow God's law. Now, it turns out God's law says we should respect other people's property. But when we ask when I ask my neighbor through the tax system to pay for my health care, I am not respecting his property. I can expect then that the government is going to give me a 10,000 regulations to tell me about what doctor I can go to, what care I can get, and every other part about my medical life, which tends to turn out to be my whole physical existence. They're going to regulate that to death because I didn't love the law of God. I didn't honor my neighbor and love him by respecting his property. And folks, that is what liberty is about. And that's why Patrick Henry talked about the holy cause of liberty. It is God that gives us liberty. And when we turn from God, we will always find ourselves not just enslaved in sin, but enslaved. We'll be right back with George Seekers. We're going to talk about homeschool day at the Capitol right after this.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And welcome back to Generations. My name is Dave Buhner, filling in for Kevin Swanson today. And joining me in the studio is George Sechrest, a leader, a member of the Colorado Home Educators of Colorado's board, a church leader. He's a deacon in the church. And George, of all people I know, is one of the people most passionate about liberty. In fact, George spent a good portion of his life going around the country trying to educate people with the John Birch Society on principles of liberty. And John Birch, the name sometimes makes people cringe, but I think the John Birch Society is being proven right more often than not. In fact, almost every time now as things come to fruition. George, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah. Well, sometimes Kevin Swanson's name makes people cringe.
Yeah, sometimes
so,
it does.
You know, he's not going to change his name. He's got an honorable name, and John Birch actually had nothing to do with the John Birch Society. He was a Baptist missionary to China prior to World War II, and then he was very heroic during World War II and stayed over there. And then I know you didn't ask about John Birch, but he was murdered by the communists after the end of World War II as they began their takeover. And he said, what happens to me is not that important, but the Americans find out what the communists are up to is more important. So.
And whether John Birch had anything to do with the John Birch Society, the John Birch Society, at least ostensibly, cared about the cause of liberty. And that's really what we're talking about here today.
That's right.
We're talking about Homeschool Day at the Capitol in Colorado. Now, I know if you're not from Colorado, that may not interest you. But if you're in the western United States, we invite you to come on down anyway. It's in Denver at the Capitol. The worst part about it is paying for parking. George, I cringe every time I have to pull out $5 to $7 just for a piece of pavement for a few hours. But
well, you know, if you want to walk, you can park on the outskirts of Denver, and there's lots of free parking out there, and you can park there.
I can. I just don't want to.
I mean, the price of liberty is $5 or $10 for parking.
$5 or $10 for parking.
So it's eternal vigilance. So sometimes we have to pay a little bit to do things.
The Homeschool Day at the Capitol is an opportunity, or it's a chance for the homeschoolers, especially in Colorado, to make their presence known to the civil magistrates, to those people who sit in the chairs up at the Capitol, pass laws, pass legislation, raise taxes. Sometimes even the governor is aware that we're there. What are we seeking? I mean, are we asking for favors? Are we hoping they'll fund us? What are we seeking? I mean, because every time somebody goes and talks to the congressman and talks to the senators, they usually want something from them.
That's right. And on one level, we're going – and we get 1,000, sometimes up to 2,000 people out at the Capitol to demand nothing. We are not asking for anything. In fact, one of the theme verses of our homeschool day at the Capitol, one of the purposes, if I might, is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, right after Paul tells our position in Christ and salvation and so on, he then says, verse 1 of chapter 2, exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So really, we're going today at the Capitol to pray for our leaders, like Paul exhorts us here, and that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, which means continue our homeschooling without government involvement. Now, to go deeper, you were, before we started, you talked about how important it is to ask our leaders to rule righteously and things like that. So on a deeper level, we are asking for that. But for ourselves, we're there more as a public witness, to pray publicly for our leaders, for our state, and to encourage each other. There's really I've looked at Homeschool Day at the Capitol as a threefold purpose. It's an incredible encouragement to the families that come there to realize, you know, to come out of their kitchen or their living room where they're homeschooling and to be part of a larger movement and to look and see other godly homeschoolers and families that are standing up for righteousness. And sure, it's a sacrifice. It's an early day for many to come downtown. It's a hassle to coming downtown. But many years we have the largest rally on the steps of the Capitol. So,
okay, so you said it was a threefold purpose. Threefold. One is to encourage families by the just the size of the people and being around other homeschoolers.
Right, and then we stated the first one earlier is to be that witness to our legislature, to our state leaders, to be that witness. And by the way, we've been getting 15 to 20 different state representatives and senators that will actually come out and greet our crowd. Many of them want to get up there and grab the microphone. We don't allow that, although we invite two or three of them to say a few very choice words, and it's always encouraging. And then I see the third role is to train up our young people in godly citizenship, train them that they can go up and meet their representative, that they know how our system of liberty works in our state, that we have the ability to influence our representatives, to meet them, to write to them, and even to have a vision of their role as a potential leader in our state, or even just a leader of his family influencing the state. So there's a lot of areas we can talk about in that.
Right. So Homeschool Day at the Capitol is April 7th.
It's a Thursday.
April 7th. It's Thursday. It's downtown Denver at the Capitol building. We meet on the west steps, which are the steps that face towards the Denver City and County building in the park there. Now, you said we were training up our young men. That's why we have a Junior Statesman program, which is a wonderful program of civic involvement that some of our kids go through. Talk to me about the Junior Statesman program. I know it's a Sechrist family affair or so.
Well, no, a lot of people worked together on this. It started out as the Junior Legislator Program in the early 2000s. And we noticed that mostly the younger children were getting excited in doing it, although it's always been geared for all ages. And so it's got challenging activities in it for the older. So we call it the Future Statesman, not Junior, but Future Statesman Program or curriculum.
Doing a golden oldie from the past.
Yep. It's hard. It was hard to change that. But so, as part of that goal to get the young people involved in the whole day at the Capitol, we've been doing days at the Capitol, homeschool days at the Capitol since around 94 or 95, and around 2000, we thought, well, let's try to do something that young people can prepare. They can do some study and they can get into it a little bit. And so that's how we came up with this Future Statesman curriculum kit. And every year is a different program. It's not the same thing that we trot out each year. Last year we happened to go into all the Christian nuggets and history of Colorado, the Christian missionaries in Colorado. This year our theme we decided on was the Holy Cause of Liberty. And Patrick Henry expressed that many times, especially in the most famous speech ever spoken at the founding era. And so that's what our Future Statesman's program is about this year, is the Holy Cause of Liberty. And you've got...
And don't think this is just for kids. The back page here, we have a little activity, How a Bill Comes a Law in Colorado. I'm not sure if you can see that, but something like this would be very helpful for some of our federal senators as well, who got a little confused about where spending bills originate and so forth. This is very good. It's got all 15 steps on how a law becomes a bill. And this is just one of the many activities. There are other children's activities, and there's more difficult activities, too. There's a place here for our future statesmen to write down and find out who all their officials are, their elected officials, that they might be able to pray for them. They might be able to write them or call them on the phone when important legislation is pending, in order that our legislatures can actually hear from the citizenry, which is always a good thing, I would think. We have some teaching about Patrick Henry, about liberty, and so forth. So this is an excellent program. And what's it take to get a child enrolled for the Future Statesman? I'm sorry, the Future Statesman program.
You said it. All right. Yeah. Well, let's see. The way it is right now, I know there's folks listening that are out of Colorado. For those in Colorado, it's part of our registration form for Homeschool Day at the Capitol.
They do that online?
So at some point we'll talk more about what's going on at Homeschool Day at the Capitol, because there's more than just the rally, there's more than just this. But it's online at check.org. That's CHEC.org, stands for Christian Home Educators of Colorado. You go to the Homeschool Day at the Capitol registration form, you fill that out, and it's a $6 booklet. It also we award a patch to those young people that complete it as approved by their parents. And then we introduce them on the steps of the Capitol. And Senator Lundberg usually prays over all the young people that work through this and do it. So anyway, that's how you get it. You fill out the registration form. And it would be obvious if you're not in Colorado that you're probably not coming to the event. But you can order this, and there's a lot of other things on there. For those who are in Colorado and are coming to Homeschool Day at the Capitol, Wendy, you want to talk about some of the other events that we have?
Well, what are the other events? You got the rally, you got the Junior Statesman, after the parking.
You know, and there's the parking, sure. Hey, I'm not going to go in order here, but let me just hit on the most important or the real exciting part of it this year. We have a Liberty Celebration. So we... There's a church a half block south of our state capitol called Pillar of Fire, and we will have an enactment of 1776 House of Burgesses in Virginia, and Patrick Henry will be there. He will deliver the most famous speech ever in America, which is in this booklet, where he says, "Give me liberty or give me death." There will be a homeschool men's chorale singing. They've been practicing for a long time, about 20, 25 young men that will be singing there. We have the founder and chancellor of Patrick Henry College, Mike Ferris, who is one of the pioneers in the homeschool movement. Many of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with Mike Ferris. We are honored to have him both at the Liberty Celebration at the Pillar of Fire Church, and that's on the registration form. That's around 10 o'clock, I believe, in the morning. Might be more like 9:45.
Get there early so you can pay for parking.
And actually the rally then follows that. We are encouraging folks to dress up with the tricorn hat, young ladies with the mob caps and colonial apparel, as we are working with Visionaires.com, Visionaires reenactors, and there we'll have a fife and drum, and we will proceed behind the fife and drum from the Pillar of Fire Church over to our state capitol. We'll go around the state capitol and assemble on the west steps and start the rally at 12:15.
But let's just say somebody out there wants to attend, but they're all out of powder for their wig, and they don't know where they put their three-cornered hat. Can they still attend?
Yeah, I mean, not to mention that we have you can order the hats in the registration form.
Oh, but, still, do you have powder for my wigs?
We haven't thought about that. We can bring some powder for the wigs. But you don't have to dress up, although we want folks to look very respectable. This is a respectable event. It's not a demonstration. And so if you're not going to dress up in the colonial attire, then definitely dress up in church attire.
Look, you can get the tricorn hat for less than it costs to park downtown.
That's right.
$5 for a boy's hat, a three-cornered hat, or it's $5 for what they call the mob cap, kind of the Betsy Ross cap. And you can do that online when you register. The workbooks here, you can order, even if you're not planning to do the Junior Statesman, you can order the books. You can do that through check.org online. Those are $6 for the book. And somebody very close to you wrote this, didn't they?
My wife worked on this, yes, and so she did a lot of research on Patrick Henry. We have immense appreciation for the man, Patrick Henry. And by the way, Dave, you'll find this very interesting. You've always had a little problem with the we the people that begins the Constitution. Patrick Henry had a major problem with we the people. He felt it should be we the states, as that's what the Constitution was. It was a collection of states. And the Tenth Amendment, which says the rights not delegated to the Congress are reserved to the states, and then James Madison threw in there, or the people. Patrick Henry had a major problem with some of those events.
Patrick Henry sat at the feet and learned under a very good Puritan minister, Sammy Davis. And by learning under Samuel Davis's feet, he really did learn liberty comes from a holy cause. That is, that liberty only comes when people are self-governed by the law of God.
Right, right. When you study the word liberty in scriptures, you find it always paired with God's law. The perfect law of liberty, I believe it says in James and then in Galatians.
Right, the perfect law of liberty, definitely a major tenet of the thinking of Paul and even of James in the New Testament. Also, when you order online, you can get a copy of the U.S. Constitution for only a dollar. I think it'd be wise maybe to pick up a couple dozen of these. You can think of different places to distribute them. Perhaps your congressman might be interested in what the Constitution has to say. I am a fan of carrying one of these little pocket constitutions and handing it to a TSA agent as you go through. You just give them a blessing and give them a copy of the Constitution. So you might want to do that, too, when you register for Homeschool Day at the Capitol. Homeschool Day at the Capitol, again, April 7th, downtown Denver, right there at Broadway and Colfax, essentially. At the Capitol, big gold dome, can't miss it, one of the highest things on the west side of town. We're going to gather there on the steps. We're going to gather first at the Pillar of Fire Church. There's going to be some presentations. Patrick Henry is going to come and deliver the speech. Mike Ferris is going to come from Patrick Henry College, and he's going to speak to us and encourage us about the cause of liberty, especially liberty in homeschooling, something he's been fighting for a long time. And then we're going to go meet some of our legislatures down at the chairs and have a rally, and there's an opportunity to take your children through the Capitol, through some of the buildings. All this makes a nice day. If you're a homeschooler, this will actually accomplish your civics credits that you require, that the state requires of you. You know, again, we're not asking a lot from the state, but civic involvement's good.
Absolutely, yeah. Hey, there's a few more wrinkles to this day at the Capitol that I wanted to hit the two highlights first. But at 8:45, where many homeschoolers are going to be packing out the upper levels of both the House and Senate that begin their sessions at 9 a.m. And so that's always an exciting time. Now, if you're not in Colorado or you can't make day at the Capitol, you can do that anytime. It's valuable to take your children and go watch the proceedings. But this happens to be a day when we're all going to be there. And so many homeschoolers will be introduced by their state representative. State representatives are always interested to find out if one of their constituents is in attendance and so on. So that's going on at 8:45. And then that's at the Capitol. And we also have permission. We have displays set up in the rotunda area of our state capitol. Our state capitol, like most state capitals, is a very impressive, ornate building. And so
it has taxpayers' money.
Yep. That's right. That's right. And the gold on our dome is from the Colorado Hills. So let's see. So we have display tables put together by homeschool families in the Capitol. So they'll be there all week. And either a homeschool family or a support group can put together a display table, perhaps showing projects that they're working on or artwork or science projects, things like that. So that's showcasing homeschooling. And then we've got a homeschool string quartet. Thank you. Yeah. And they'll be playing in the rotunda. Excellent acoustics. It just fills the whole area. This will be on the day at the Capitol in the morning. Fills the whole area with a beautiful classical music. And then I believe they're invited into the House chambers to play right at the beginning of the House chambers. So it's we're not there demonstrating, we're there participating as citizens
So we're not like the teachers union in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not sure if that's appropriate to demonstrate like that. We are just publicly gathering to bring God's presence and to pray for our leaders and to thank God for the Christian heritage that he's given us.
And folks, you want to be there when the music illuminates that dome.
Yes.
That dome, the acoustics of that dome, when the music gets going, will raise the hair on the back of your neck. It's just really wonderful. And to think that it's happening right there in Denver at the state capitol, where God is not always welcomed, but God's people are always going to make themselves known. George, I just can't help but think that if good people will do nothing, bad people will do everything they want.
Right.
And this is the chance for the people of God to say, "Hear, O judges of the earth, kiss the Son, lest he perish in the way." And this is a chance for us to create a biblical standard just by our presence, just by
That's
the
right.
fact that we exist.
Yes.
It's a way to say, you know what, you do not have to tyrannize us with compulsory education requirements, because those of us who are self-regulated will take care of it. Those of us who still love our children will see to it that our children are well prepared. And I have seen year after year that especially the freshmen, congressmen and senators, didn't even know that there was this thing called Christian homeschooling. And when they see it, they almost take a step back and say, "Wow, I guess liberty can work."
Yes, yes. We have several senators, a good handful of senators. I'm not sure if we have any representatives in the House. Some of those representatives have gone on into the Senate. But we have a number of homeschooled dads that are representatives and senators in the state of Colorado. And this is important, what Senator Lundberg has said and others have agreed, that when there's a bill touching education, they are very careful to exclude homeschoolers, so that bill that might be restricting this or causing more oppression in this area or that will not affect homeschoolers. They do not want, they like what they see, or they just know that there's a lot of homeschoolers and they don't want to face the ire. They don't want to face all the flood of mails and emails and phone calls that they'll get if they start infringing on homeschool freedom. Senator Lundberg believes that that's because of our presence that we make known, and a large part of that is Day at the Capitol. You know, there's a couple other little factors. There's so many volunteers that are involved in Homeschool Day at the Capitol. It's just incredible. You know, it's almost hard to remember all the things that are going on. But we want the representatives to know that we're there, that we love them, that we're praying for them. They all get cookies. We give them cookies. Every one of them gets a little baggie of cookies with an invitation to the rally on the day, Homeschool Day at the Capitol. This year, our governor has signed a proclamation making April 7th homeschool day. And so we have a governor's signed proclamation that will be read. We've invited Governor Hickenlooper. In the past, Governor Owens has come and addressed our crowd. We don't know if Governor Hickenlooper has accepted that, but he knows we're going to be there. He signed the proclamation, so we're thrilled about that. There's some other wrinkles that I'm not thinking of right now that are going on.
Well, that's all right. If you want to find out what's going on at Day at the Capitol, the best way to find out is by registering and attending. Again, April 7th, you can register online at check.org. That's CHEC.org. If you're in the Denver area, if you can make it, I urge you to make a good attempt to come down, attend the rally, order the hat. $5? Come on, that's less than a t-shirt. That's less than parking. Parking's kind of expensive downtown.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper other places. But hey, what's one day of parking for homeschool liberties? It's a great chance to learn how our state government particularly works, how it interacts with the federal government. It's a great field trip for the children. So if you can, please register check.org. There's a big banner right on the right side, Homeschool Day at the Capitol. And if you can attend, even if you didn't register, please come on down. Homeschool Day at the Capitol, April 7th. George, thanks for joining us here on this edition of Generations.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me. What a joy.
And we'll see you next time when we cast a vision for the next generation.